Thanks for listening to the Best of the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weeknight from 10 p.m. to 2 a.m. Eastern, 7 to 11 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. Find your local station for the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every night on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR.
This is the Best of the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon on Fox Sports Radio.
The entire night, I'm going to talk like this through a distorter. Happy early Halloween, or should I say, happy Geico-ween. Mike Harmon, look behind you.
Okay.
I'm going to stab you through the head with a butcher knife.
Oh, that escalated quickly.
Now, if you had went, and fell down, people might have thought about that for a second and said, wait a minute.
Well, no, I was really waiting for Tysha to play me rolling down in my wheelchair down the stairs.
Well, I needed to hear you yell first.
There we go. And the thing is, you know how many people have said to me, how come whenever it's Halloween, because now this is our seventh Halloween show we've done, I think. They always say, how come whenever you get to Halloween, you guys always wind up talking about Friday the 13th? And I go, I don't know. It just kind of comes out that way.
Because it's always on. I mean, tonight I got Minnesota and Maryland, and later we got Hawaii and Wyoming. So, I mean, I got football to be watching today, but I got to be honest. One eye is creeping towards, where's the Friday the 13th marathon? I mean, it's there. You know it's there.
Well, in the Halloween marathon, you know, all week it's been Halloween movies. I mean, that's the thing. And the thing is, they keep showing the newer Halloween movies, and they're movies that if you watch them with the sound off, I mean, there's certain movies you can watch with the sound off and go, okay, I get what's going on, and I understand what's happening, and this is what's going on. You watch one of the new Halloween movies, and I mean like, you know, from like 2007 and beyond, like one of the new ones. You watch one of them with the sound off, you're going to go, what the hell? I don't understand anything. I don't understand anything that's going on here. I don't get it. What is happening?
It's supposed to be cerebral for you.
It's supposed to be people in peril. Michael Myers is after them. He gets some of them. Some of them he doesn't. He gets away at the end. I mean, you don't mess with a formula. You know, it's like
people
when I go and I want a roast beef.
Smith.
If I want a roast beef sandwich with cheese and mayonnaise and onions, I go, give me roast beef with cheese, mayo, and onions. Don't give me, I'm going to give you some turkey and a little bit of avocado. And
I think it would have been a nice garlic aioli.
Nice little leafy green. No, that's not what I want. That's not, when you see movies, this is kind of what you want. And you watch some of these new Halloween movies, and I go, I don't understand what's happening. I mean, yeah, maybe this is me getting older, but yeah, Halloween's gotten too cerebral for me. The Halloween movies. Tell you, man, I can't figure them out anymore, man. It's too difficult.
Maybe you get drunk and just enjoy the show.
Well, what happens when you get drunk in a horror movie? You wind up dying. I mean, that's...
Well,
that's,
not
they
always.
Teach you that.
If you went to the bar and you stayed out, you survived.
And that guy, I'm sure,
was hammered.
Yeah. The guy did do that in Friday the 13th Part 2. That is...
You know what I mean? He survived. So is he the outlier? Is he saying, well, maybe there's a small percentage chance you're going to survive, but watch the rest of these people? I don't know what the marketing company and what they were trying to do, because they told you that sex was bad, and they told you overall, the overarching theme was that drinking drugs are bad, okay? Just like the teacher in South Park. But then that guy gets away, and it kind of says, well, there's a sliver of hope for you.
There could be a movie like this for Halloween where instead of teenagers enjoying like all kinds of things that, you know, you have to grow into in life, like alcohol and drug, all these things. What if it's just like, you know, they're at a retreat for a camp and it's all like clean fun, like they're playing Sorry at night and, you know, they're doing like Pin the Tail on the Donkey and, you know, they're playing like
Who plays the donkey?
Yeah, no. I mean, really, Pin the Tail. Like, no, I don't mean like, oh, hey, Pin the Tail in the Dunk. No, I don't mean like Slide Over Baby Hour stuff. No, I mean just like, what if you go to a camp and it's just a bunch of good, clean teenagers who are just out to, you know, have that kind of fun and want to live their life a certain way. Boy, I tell you, I think you would really find there would be a boomerang back on the popularity of people like Michael Myers and Jason Voorhees. Like, okay, well, look, all they were doing, they were just playing Stratego, and look what he did.
Wow.
I mean, I don't understand.
Maybe
they were just playing
a battleship, and with each ship sunk, someone dies.
That's all. I want to peek up over the battleship, and it's Michael Myers, and just a knife comes out and gets
you. Well, I mean, you could do it that way. I was just thinking people in their extended universe.
You sank my battleship. Hey, I said you sank my battleship.
You sank my battleship. Prepare to die.
And then it takes one of those big, like, toy battleships and just shoves it in your face.
Well, there's that, yeah.
I got to write that down. That's actually a good way
That's
to get
bad.
Somebody a new Halloween
That's almost
movie.
Freddy Krueger-esque, isn't it?
Yeah. I like
it. Kind of like a little bit of comedy with your death.
I got to write that down. Would you like a side of comedy with your death, please?
Well, because he always had a good one-liner.
He did. Oh, no. They tried to get – because nobody else talked. They said, you know what? What if we let Freddie talk? Oh, what a great idea. And suddenly it was, that's pretty cool. Instead of a guy walking around that doesn't speak, let's have a guy talk. All right. He talks.
It's not a bad move. Got to change the paradigm a little bit sometimes. You got to row the boat, and you got to come up with something different. As Minnesota
yeah, speaking of row the boat, does this mean you bet Minnesota tonight? Is that what happened? You bet the Gophers tonight?
No, I'm just watching the game. What are you talking about?
Oh, okay. You said row the boat. Coming
well,
back
it's a great
from a huge...
phrase. It's not quite as good as good, clean American fun that you get from Pat Fitzgerald, but row the boat's pretty good, too.
Row the boat is pretty good. And right now they are rowing the boat really well. They have overcome Jake Funk and his 136 yards rushing from Maryland tonight. The marquee game of the night in college football. Minnesota leads Maryland 38-21 going to the fourth quarter. We have a tiny smorgasbord of college football games, including Hawaii and Wyoming, who is kicking off just now. But you talked about moves, and it's a big football Friday, obviously, because we have there's so much stuff to get to today as we look at a big weekend in the National Football League. We got Tua's debut. We have Pittsburgh and Baltimore. Can the Jets cover this point spread? What's going on with New England? But the biggest news of the day when it comes to transaction-wise came out of baseball today. The Mets got a new owner, and the Tigers got a new manager. What do you want to do first, Tigers or the Mets? Tigers or the Mets?
Which style of cheating do you want to do?
All right, well, let's start with
I'm just calling it what it is.
No, let's
start with which one do we want to go to? We want to go to financial crimes, or do we want to go with trash cans and electronics?
Hey, Steve Cohen was not named in any SEC suit that had to do with money 10 years ago, okay?
He paid out $1.8 billion.
That's nothing. That's what happens in business, okay? He was not named in that suit. Everything is just fine, okay?
Sure.
He's got money. It's all good. The money.
SAC Capital Advisors. We played guilty, Your Honor.
Listen, if you want to know what really happened, just watch Billions. He's the real. That's what Bobby Axelrod is based on. Just watch Billions if you want to see Steve Cohen. It's fine. He paid money. Everybody got paid. Everything was fine for that whole SEC thing. It was like, whatever. That's all. That's just business.
And then they went on to win the championship. Once again, college football.
But it really is like, listen, today I joke around. Today really was Mets Christmas because today the Wilpons, who were the worst owners in all of baseball for a long time, they got caught. You want to talk about cheating? They got caught in a Ponzi scheme and they lost millions upon millions of hundreds of millions of dollars and still were allowed to own the Mets. What does that tell you? They got caught in a Ponzi scheme. I mean, really, the people who, because I'm sure at some point someone's come up to you and go, hey, do you want to make a lot of money? Yeah. Listen, I'm doing something. Here's what you got to do. You give me $100 and you come in under me. What does that mean? Yeah, you come in under me. You give me $100 and then you get somebody to come in alongside you and they give me $100, right? Then you get people to come in under you and you get two people to come in and they give you $100 a year. I mean, and the Mets decided, the Wilpon said, yeah, let's do this. Yeah, this is great. Let's go do it. I mean, really, this is Mets Christmas. And I realize I'm getting old now because I know the ramifications of what a new owner brings. I'm just as excited about a new owner as I am about a new center fielder or a new shortstop. Stop or a new starting pitcher because, you know, when you're young, it doesn't matter who owns it. This guy's good. This guy stinks. This guy. I say it all the time. When you have a bad owner, you are stuck. And the Mets have been stuck for the longest time. And now they have a guy who's the richest owner in baseball. He's going to spend a lot of money. We're going to go tell JT Realmuto, I don't care if you don't want to come to New York. How about $250 million? You come play catcher. What about you, George Springer? How about $350 million for you? You come play center field. This is how we're going to be now. We're going to be awesome. I'm so excited. It is Mets Christmas and Arbor Day and Flag Day all rolled into one today.
You got Arbor Day and nicely done.
I liked Arbor Day.
Forgotten Arbor Day.
We got to take care of the trees, Mike, the environment. We got to take care of it.
Yeah, I could picture you in a live-action version of the Lorax. Anyway.
I speak for the trees.
Exactly. You run around doing that. But the idea here is it's going to be an odd off-season, right? A lot of folks, they, quote, lost money. I don't know that they lost money, but they didn't make as much as they usually do, which means there was already a question as to what spending was going to look like. Hell, we've seen it the last couple of free agency periods anyway. Now you add the effects of no fans in the stands, the shortened season, you know, just check all the boxes. I mean, there's lines around for blocks out here in Los Angeles because you can actually go to the official stores and buy Dodger merch for the first time in forever. You know, obviously it's World Series merch as well, but just the closure of everything team-related around the facilities has really put a dent in things. The Mets are the one team where you go, all right, deep pocketbooks. All right, and the Dodgers, for that matter. Those are the two teams where you can say, all right, they have money, they can spend money. Everybody else, there's some hiccups in the process and some questions procedurally of what they would need to do and how much is lip service when they say they have no money versus reality. But the Mets certainly could be a huge player in free agency. You've got some of the stars already banging the drum.
No. That's a good segue to our next story. But that's what it is. It's they're going to spend money. They're going to spend all kinds. They're going to be the new Yankees. They're going to spend all kinds of money. And you know, look, the guy's owning the team. He's 64. He didn't buy the team when he's 45. Didn't take over when he was 38. He's 64. He's like, okay, let's let the next 15 or 20 years really mean something here. Okay, so let's go right now. I'm not going to ease into this. Now, we're going to buy up every free agent, whether he's good or not. We'll sign Justin Turner and bring him back, and we'll give him $150 million, even though he'll get suspended for the entire season. We'll still pay you to come back and do that. We are going to be that team, and I am so excited. Rather than be the team going, well, you know, we still have this a lot of this money to pay out to these people that we really pulled the wool over their eyes, so we're going to go a little low on the spending so far here. No. This is a great – and it's a great day for everybody else in baseball, too, because agents are saying, oh, the real Mets are back. Now I can go use them to give big offers to my client that I can use it so I can go get them to the team they want to go to. And I can use the Mets as the bridge. And this is, hey, they got a big offer from the Mets. Now I'm able to get you to the Twins because they're going to give you that kind of money too. So all agents are so excited they can now use the Mets in that case. It's a win-win for everybody. Everybody wins today.
Well, the estimated worth, just doing the quick Googling, over $14 billion net worth.
In baseball. Now, I'm not just saying that. He is the richest owner in all of baseball.
So now you've got the Ballmer effect.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Not when there's other companies involved. Dodgers still gets Trump there. But for the individuals, yeah, I mean, you're talking potentially the Ballmer effect. Let's change the culture. Let's get things headed right back, you know, in a proper direction and forget about these last couple of years that were an absolute clown show and an embarrassment.
Meanwhile, not just the only big news today, as speaking of banging the drum, the Detroit Tigers made official today what we thought was going to happen yesterday, and that is hiring former Astros manager A.J. Hinch. In fact, it became official today, and the story came out. A.J. Hinch said a half hour after the World Series ended, the Tigers called him, because that's when A.J. Hinch's one-year suspension ended for his part in the Astros cheating scandal. So part of me thinks the Tigers called, and like they're getting ready for their phone call. They're going, okay, how long after we get him on the phone do we kind of ask if he can bring that scandal, like that cheating system, over to us? Like, how do we ask him, do you still own the trash cans? Do you still own the, you know, do you still know the guy who was sitting at the table and doing that? Can you know the guy who can connect the buzzer to somebody's shoulder? Because, you know, we're still paying Miguel Cabrera a lot of money, man. We're paying him for another 10 years and he's done. Can you help? Do you still know that stuff? When you come over, can you help out? How long until I ask him that? 30 seconds into the phone call? 45 seconds?
Yeah, and if you're telling me the first contact was after the World Series was over, I call you a liar. I'm not buying that for a minute. It's kind of like whatever the official timestamp is on Trevor Lawrence's positive test.
Wednesday. What did we tell you last night?
It ended up being Wednesday. You're absolutely right. Just in the nick of time. But that's a story for later. The A.J. Hinch move, it gets back to philosophy, right? Of, do you want this guy in right off a scandal? You're the Tigers. You're thirsty. You want wins. And if you think he's the guy to get you over, even without any of the mechanics involved with what the Astros were laying down, then you jump on board. You're trying to rebuild and find your way. So can't fault a good strategy, right? If you decided he's the best man for the job, the optics of jumping right back into a job immediately after the 1 year ban is done. Man, 3, 2, Happy New Year. Hey, you want to come manage us? might leave some folks with a little bit of a salty taste. But when we talk about, you know, all the different, you know, ways coaching players, you look, everybody gets a second chance, right? So here's your second chance. Make the most of it.
Honestly, though, you know what? It's just too soon. I don't know if it's because we spent so much time with the baseball not playing and then coming back and having the short season and the playoffs are over, and still wherever Manfred goes, he is dogged with not punishing the Astros enough, and suddenly here's A.J. Hinch back in the game. It feels like no time has gone by. It just feels like it's too soon. Because a year to go by and suddenly, hey, now we're letting the guy back in, and now Alex Cora is going to get a gig again. Everybody's coming back in. Carlos Beltran will wind up getting back in at some point, and it's just too soon. Again, it's another example of how this is going to follow Rob Manfred around for the rest of his career. No matter what he does as commissioner, this is going to be front and center how much he blew the Astros sign-stealing scandal. He's like a politician that can have 4 or 8 or 12 or 16 great years, but the one scandal he's got is what everybody's going to know him for. Like, that's it. You know, like everything you do for your state or the country, but you have that scandal, and that's all anybody's going to remember you for. All the other great things, we did X, Y, and Z. Look at this. We brought jobs in. We helped the economy. You know, we made roads safer. We added police. We did all these things. Yeah, but you had that dancer scandal in your car, and you got pulled over on the side of the road that night, and that's all anybody's going to care about, right? That's all that person's entire existence is like that, and that's what it's going to be for Rob Manfred. All the stuff it's going to be, you still screwed the Astros. People are so pissed, Mike, about the Justin Turner thing, and when we talked about how he's probably going to get 50 games and I can't defend him, the most popular answer I got in my timeline about why they can't punish Justin Turner is because they didn't punish the Astros, so you can't punish Justin Turner. It makes no sense. That's a nonsensical argument, but this is how mad people are. They're still mad about the Astros. So because you screwed up the Astros, you can't punish Justin Turner. This is going to follow him forever because he blew it.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon weekdays at 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
Joining us now on the hotline on this fun Football Friday, he's got a big product announcement he's going to tell us about, too. You can now buy gummy bears in the shape of Jay Glazer's head. Jay joins us now. What's happening, Jay?
Oh, that's the wrong type of dispensary. Not mine.
No, but I saw you have a pretty big thing coming up for vets and players and everything else with GNC.
Well, yeah, GNC, actually, you know, I signed last year to be their spokesman, but also with that, we're doing an unbreakable launch of our new protein line, amino acids, pre-workout drink, ready-to-drink shakes. For me, it's a dream come true. I'm like, you know, I've been in a, you know, working out martial arts and wrestling since I was a little kid, so I always went to GNC. So to be a spokesman for them and for them to actually make a whole product line based on Unbreakable is incredible. And the best part is I brought with me and they signed some of my vets, Kirstie Ennis, right? You guys know Kirstie. I've talked about her. She's an amputee who she got the Pat Tillman Award last year at the ESPYs, but she is just incredible. Nate Boyer, my co-founder of MVP, got a JC Glick, who's a Ranger for over 20 years. Woman named Tanya Oxendine, who is an 82nd Airborne, who's an African-American woman who is a bad SOB. And so I got them to, you know, to be influencers, if you will. I didn't go the normal influencer route that normally you go through with this. Instead, I got people who I already know who've been through some stuff that are unbreakable, and we're going to try and, you know, and GNC is going to get the message out there with everything around our MVP Foundation. They are donating to MVP. It's such a beautiful partnership. So the product launch, it'll be out December 1. But you'll start seeing stuff about it coming up here starting Veterans Day. I'm so excited.
Oh, awesome. And I'm looking at the front of it right now. It's just a big thing of your head smiling with the tooth that Demi Lovato knocked out. It looks awesome right now.
Yeah. I don't know what the hell you're looking at, but it sounds like you've been to one of those dispensaries.
Right. Well, we are in California, Jay, as you know. Yeah. Just down the block.
Hey, Jay, as we get set and look at this weekend, and, look, we have so many big things going on, but nothing is bigger than Steelers and Ravens. It's a huge game. It's a much bigger game for Baltimore because, you know, coming off of last year, it just seems like they're missing something right now in Baltimore. They're still winning and they're fine, but it just doesn't seem like it's the same for them. But what have you seen out of the Ravens so far this season?
So, no, I don't think I agree with that. I think what happened is you're used to how great Lamar Jackson is now. Last year we weren't. So last year it astounded you. Now you're like expecting it because we know how great he is. So I think that's really, it's just a lack of, it's just a different shift in perspective. I mean, last year they were doing it with smoke and mirrors on defense. They didn't really have the personnel on defense, but we were just so enamored with what, you know, Lamar was doing. This year they have a little bit better personnel on defense, but I think when they lost so badly to the Chiefs, we kind of look at it and go, oh man, it stepped them back. So that's why this matchup is so big against the Steelers. They got to win these matchups against those bigger teams.
Jay, moving over to New Orleans, Michael Thomas still out.
Wait. Yeah. Back it up. We haven't talked about the Steelers yet.
I mean, Steelers, I'm sorry.
That's
there was a dramatic pause. I didn't, you know.
No. Oh, because I thought you guys were going to go the other side of the ball.
Well, let me stop.
Okay,
hang
give me the
second.
Other we're, side we're, then.
I'll go, yeah,
okay.
Go ahead.
Hey, so, Jay, now, but hey, I can't believe we've gone this far. You haven't mentioned the Steelers yet. What's wrong?
Yeah, I'm not talking about that, guys.
Well played. Well played.
Thank you. No, they are, listen, they are, you know what I think happened to Steelers? One, you know, Ben came back, and it's the first time, you know, I took all this heat this offseason when I was making fun of Ben's offseason workout program, mm-hmm. and everybody thought I was saying that Ben wasn't taking his rehab seriously, and Ben and I even talked about it, and he was like, no, it's actually gotten him for the first time to really, you know, really, you know, bust his butt in the offseason and train, and it took him to a different level. But I think, you know, Ben is just so unique. You can game plan as much as you want for them, but the play doesn't start until it breaks down. It's so hard to prepare for them. But I think overall, as a team with their confidence, they last year going 500, losing out on the number of players they've lost out on, and they still were as competitive as they were going down the stretch. I think it gave the whole team confidence of, hey, we're above everybody else from, you know, all the way down to our 53rd player. And, you know, where other teams have struggled to put together any sort of continuity in this day and age of COVID where you couldn't really have an off-season program or much of a training camp, they went into the year knowing, hey, we know what we are mentally, but we've gotten much better because we got all our horses back.
Yeah, I'd be remiss if I didn't say that Jason had picked them to go to the Super Bowl.
I did. I picked the Steelers for the Super Bowl. So
he wants credit, whatever.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I can see it. The way that defense is playing right now, I can see it.
Yeah. I'll tell you, they're terrific.
Fun to watch. That's obviously the big one. Let me go back to New Orleans and right. Michael Thomas out once again. You still have
Emmanuel Sanders. Hang on a second, Mike. Wait, yeah. Jay, are we done with the Steelers?
You make that decision.
Okay. All right, Mike, go ahead. Just wanted to make sure.
All right, how big is the loss of Devin Bush going to be overall for the rest of the season? I can do this all day. We can do this, sure.
Yes, we can. Touché, my friend, touché.
But New Orleans, Sean Payton and company, they're down to bringing up practice squad, wide receivers, road game against the Bears. Are they potentially a buyer here at the trade deadline, wondering how long it is before Thomas actually can re-engage?
The Saints are always one of those aggressive teams, always. So, you know, and Sean Payton loves that. He looks on the guys because Sean has a certain thing that his culture is different, so he can bring in somebody else and change them and bring kind of, you know, and pick them up. And listen, he's not off. He's not wrong about it. And we talk also about, you know, them having injuries. Last year, they went, what'd they go, 4-0 without Drew Brees? It's like, man,
yeah,
they were just able to
–
you know, he's 5-0, so he is as much as anybody else in this league is next man up, and having people in that locker room believe it.
Jay Glazer with us, the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon live from the Geico Studios. All right, Jay, you talked about players and people who could be out there. The Patriots come into this game this week against Buffalo. Cam Newton says it's a must-win game. We hear reports that the Patriots could be looking to trade a lot of players. What are they going to try to do here at this point? Will we see them try to move guys? Are they going to try to go in and win the rest of this year? What are they going to do?
You know, I'd be a little surprised if they ship guys out. I'd be real surprised about that. I don't think at this age Bill Belichick's going to look at it and say, you know, let's just ship out and rebuild now for the future. I'd be a little surprised if that happened. I know the name Gilmore has been out there. I mean, man, if they would give up a guy like that, there would be teams climbing all over themselves for something like that. I just don't think you give somebody like that up.
Now, pulling it out overall, ask about the Saints, ask about the Patriots. Are we expecting a bunch of movement? We've seen some trades here. Obviously, Ngakoue is bouncing around the league like a pinball. But is it going to be an active weekend in that regard?
You know what? I think for down the road guys, it might be. Because everybody I've been talking to in the last week, they're like, God, it's quiet. It's just, you know, the Eagles called around, basically said, hey, who you want? The Giants have done that. You know, the Vikings did, but it wasn't. You know, a lot of times when teams do it, they'll call and be like, okay, who do you want on a roster? But then when you say, okay, I'd like X player, they'll go, okay, 2 1s and a 3. You're like, it's your freaking right guard. What are you talking about? And so they do say, who do you want? And, you know, anybody's available, but then they ask for so much. But it's, you know, I think sometimes teams just get frustrated too. Like, all right, let's just fire ourselves and they kind of come down a little bit.
You can follow him on Twitter at Jay Glazer. That is at Jay Glazer. And also on his Twitter account, get the latest on his big product launch coming up December 1st.
Thank you.
Vets and Players. Thanks to GNC. Jay, as always, buddy, appreciate it. Happy Halloween. Are you going out dressed as Michael Strahan tomorrow night?
Why would I possibly do? Are you kidding me? He needs to go dress as me.
He's the guy with the new product line. And Strahan wants to be
him. I'm not going anywhere.
All right.
I ain't going anywhere tomorrow.
You're doing good otherwise, though, Jay, before we let you go.
Doing great, brother. Doing great. Doing awesome.
Fantastic.
Man. Thank you. Love you guys.
All right. Love you too, man.
Love you, man. See you, have a good weekend.
There goes Jay. You know, and it's always fun because I know it's always fun to kind of look back and go, boy, how do trade offers really go in the NFL and in the Major League Baseball? Does it really happen like it does in Moneyball where Brad Pitt is just calling someone and might trade this guy and this guy? And it's kind of fun when you hear, Jay saying, it's just like in your fantasy league. Hey, everybody on my team is available. Call me with an offer. Okay, I'm calling you. I'm going to make you this offer. Blank you, that offer sucks, and then there's no more trade
right,
offers.
And then you ask for the moon. Exactly.
Right. So it's kind of the same thing in fantasy as it is in the NFL. Hey, we want Lamar Jackson. Yeah, great. We want your first round pick for the next 15 years. Oh, we're not going to do that. Okay, well, goodbye. You know, it's kind of fun to hear that's the way it goes. That's pretty cool.
Be sure to catch live editions of the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon weekdays at 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Pacific.
Happy Halloween. Happy Geico-ween. Happy all kinds of ween. Lots of ween coming your way. It's a slide over baby hour. And it's different. Slide over baby hour makes people think, boy, it's just like in those Halloween movies. Anybody that wants to hook up, yeah, I'm going to get a spear through both our bodies and it's going to end it. It's how it works.
It's not a bad way to go, though.
Ooh, I don't know about that.
No, because there's a story forever, buddy.
What do you mean
like,
story forever?
If you just have a heart attack, you had a heart attack. Thousands of people have heart attacks every day.
How can you have a story forever when you're dying at that moment? You're like, oh, my God, we're going to hook up.
No, but I mean,
that's no story.
No sex.
No, my point is that it becomes the stuff of legend, right? You just have a heart attack. There's a shame. All your loved ones gather, and they remember you. But when you get impaled by a homicidal maniac who comes into your home while you're in the middle of getting it on, I mean, that becomes a citywide, nationwide story and the stuff of legend.
Yeah, now you're right. That becomes things that families sit around and talk about on the anniversary. Hey, remember 5 years ago tonight when Johnny and Susie were on that couch, and look, we still have the hole in it from where that big spear went right through both of them. Boy, that was...
Sometimes you got to keep a reminder, buddy.
Some kind of way to go, wasn't it, boy? I wish I could have gone that way. I'll tell you, we got to write that down. We got to make sure we tell this story every year. This is really big. This is kind of fun. What kind of family gatherings did you have in your life where you think that's something people are going to talk about?
I didn't say it was the family. I was saying you became a nationwide legend.
Legend. What happened? Well, she was really hot, but boy, I'll tell you, the guy with the cleaver. I tell you, he had that big spear, too. I don't know where he got it from, but that was tough.
Yeah, he had a good run. Yeah, I mean, finished doing what you liked.
Who has a good run in a horror movie? Nobody has a good run.
I don't know, that guy that stayed out all night, he had a good run. I'm watching Friday the 13th right now, so okay. I'm getting in my Halloween mood.
But there's no
The Wyoming horror... game got out of hand. The rainbows aren't giving much of a fight, so I'm done.
But there's no horror movie where, like, the Michael Myers goes after octogenarians. That doesn't have like a guy in a walker going, "Oh, I got this guy."
You know what?
Guy.
That would be a good twist.
I can let this guy go a bit. He goes after octogenarians who are actually only pretending to not be able to run around, and they turn around and they turn the tables on him.
Be like, "I've seen it all, Sonny. Okay. What are you bringing to me?"
I got to think about. Okay, I think about that part of it. Where the killer goes in, and instead they turn the tables on him. Is that a horror movie already? Because I think that's a great idea, but that could already be a horror
movie. They turn the tables, and now they're working together to take down the maniac.
Like you set up a movie where it's like a Michael Myers character, and there's all these teenagers, and you think, okay, it's just your typical, here's the jock, here's the cheerleader, here's the nerd, here's the really hot girl who's the nerd, but you don't really realize she's hot until she starts getting chased around, and, you know, her clothes get ripped off, and you realize, oh, my goodness. And then there's, you know, there's the funny guy over here. Here, and there's the guy with the drugs over here, and you think, okay, this is easy pickings for me, like the guy in the commercial when they go hide behind the chainsaws. But as he gets there, he realizes they just lured him in, and then they start chasing him, and then he's the guy that's got to fight for survival. Think about that for a second. Now, I'm not saying the teenagers turn into like werewolves or anything. They're just like really prepped for this moment. Like they've been waiting for this. Like it's a thing. Like we go out to the woods hoping at some point we get a guy with a chainsaw coming out to get us. And then when he does, boom, we're into action. We've been prepping for this our whole lives.
Yeah, you got me about halfway through. It started sounding like you were describing Red Dawn, where they were going to start yelling Wolverine as they took care of business.
Red Dawn. When Russia invades the United States and we turn the tide because of a bunch of kids who play football in a Michigan high school.
Plucky football players led by Patrick Swayze.
Hey, don't call us plucky. We don't know what that means. So tonight is a big night in college football. Tomorrow's also a big day in college football. Now, why was tonight a big night? Because we saw the debut of another Tagovailoa. Talia Tagovailoa debuts tonight, or not debuts tonight, but debuts in a national audience tonight because he played last week and played terrible in a loss to Northwestern. But tonight.
Well, that was a primetime game, too. That was bad.
Oh, it was last week?
Ooh, well, it was later afternoon slot, so primetime in the Midwest.
Oh, it's a Midwest primetime game.
Well, I mean, look, once we start getting into all the different time zones, right?
Okay.
I mean,
all right.
I'm just calling it what it is. For us on the West Coast, late afternoon, but, you know, East Coast and Midwest, I mean, you were sitting down and you'd already had dinner.
Hey, I'm ready. We got a national game on. It's Northwestern. Whatever. Just turn it on.
43-3, baby.
But tonight, Talia Tagovailoa throws for 394 and three touchdowns. He runs for 64 and two touchdowns. Maybe he's great. Maybe Minnesota's defense is just awful because they gave up a bunch of yards to Michigan last week. But watching him play tonight, he was fun. He looked a lot like his brother, except he's right-handed. You know, he moved well. He had a big 60-yard touchdown run where he fooled the defense, was able to run by everybody. I mean, this kid looked really good. And if every Friday night, Mike Harmon, we're going to get a Big Ten quarterback play really well, where I can think I'm okay if I have to wait a year for these guys to come to the NFL draft. If Trevor Lawrence doesn't want to come, well, then maybe Talia Tagovailoa wants to show up. Maybe we're going to get Mertz to come and play when he gets back in the lineup. We've had a couple weeks now with Big Ten quarterbacks have big games, so I'm okay if that happens in a couple of years. I'll wait. I'll wait for Talia Tagovailoa if I have to. It's okay. I'll wait for him.
No, I mean, when we look at this, Tagovailoa, both as a runner and throwing the football, good accuracy, couple of missed plays downfield. The numbers could have been bigger.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he had a couple of shots where the receiver just, one, wasn't looking for the ball. I'm remembering a play towards the end of regulation in tonight's game where, I mean, that was a 40-yard completion. He put it in the exact spot, catch him in stride, but – you know, just had that moment where you're looking back at the where you're at on the sideline and where the defender is, and that was just enough for it to fall incomplete. They immediately got a nice reaction shot of Talia, and he just had this look on his face like, I had him. I had, it was a second and 25 play, too, because they'd gotten a bogus penalty on first down. But it was fun to watch him wing the ball around. I mean, this was an exciting game. I mean, once you get to 89 points and a missed PAT and OT decides it, I mean, that's everything you want in a game. I mean, huge run. Both two running backs go over 200 yards. But, you know, Tagovailoa throws the ball 35 times, 394 and 3. Had the one pick, but 64 yards and two on the ground, including a 39-yard scamper. Yeah, that's enough to raise your eyebrows. And as a perennial top draft entrant in the New York Football Jets, you've got to be watching with great excitement that this next one could be yours. It's kind of like we were talking with Pete Futak earlier, right, where he was saying, hey, Clemson doesn't have Trevor Lawrence, but they've got the number one recruit replacing him, baby. It's still a 25-point spread.
But here's the thing about this game, before we get to another big quarterback making his debut tomorrow, is that this game was won in overtime by Maryland because Minnesota misses the extra point after scoring a touchdown. So Maryland wins 45-44. And for the life of me, I don't understand why head coaches keep playing to extend overtime when they have a chance to win the game, right? Look, P.J. Fleck's a really good head coach, right?
Well, it just goes against analytics, though, Jason, because analytics would say you go for two.
Right, because this is what we watch in this game. In the fourth quarter, Maryland went down and scored the last three times they had the ball, two touchdowns and a field goal. They start overtime with a touchdown. Clearly, your defense is gassed. You are not stopping Maryland's offense. You've given up 700 yards of offense on the night. What makes you possibly think, well, this next time we're going to get a defensive stop? That fails to have any kind of logic at all. I mean, and the thing is, Flex an offensive coach. If he was a defensive coach, I get, well, my defense is going to do it. I don't understand that. You just, the last four times Maryland has the football, they scored three touchdowns and a field goal. You are not stopping them. You have a chance, and you put up a lot of yards on offense, too. Not as much as Maryland, but clearly you've been able to put up a lot. You have your own 200-yard rusher for the night. You go for two in that situation. You have a chance to win the game. Go for two. And I said this before the extra point. Even if he made the extra point and they kept playing, you go for two because there's nothing that tells me you're going to stop. Maryland's just going to keep scoring touchdowns until they win the game. And I don't understand why coaches don't say, listen, what did you want me to do? Look at our defense. We just got boat raced for 700 yards. My defense wasn't going to stop them. And people would say, you're right. You had a better chance of doing it then than by kicking the extra point. And I don't know why teams do that. When games are 72-65, go for two. Your defense isn't stopping anybody. You go for two and try to win the game. I don't get it, but it happens.
Yeah, I mean, they'd been efficient early. I mean, Ibrahim was unstoppable for much of the night. 41 carries on the night, 207 yards, four touchdowns. Seth Green had a touchdown run as well. You want to do any Seth Green lines while you're at it?
Just get a gun and shoot him. Dad. No. I have to have a plan to make sure right here, to make sure that they do this. No, but just do it right now. You can get rid of him right now, Daddy. No. Scotch, I have a whole bag of these shushers for you. All right, go ahead.
Nicely done. Maryland did a good job of keeping Rashad Bateman at bay. He only had five catches, 62 yards. And Fleck didn't show much confidence in Tanner Morgan at all coming down the stretch of regulation, let alone deciding what play call to get into for the two-point conversion. I mean, they had the ball near midfield, and they just kept tucking it in Ibrahim's gut, which effective most of the night, but once you've decided, hey, this is all we're going to do, the defense kind of cinches up, and eventually they're going to get one stop on you.
Yeah.
And that's where they got the stop, forced the punt, instead of you being able to maybe drive down and put the game away, give yourself a field goal shot. Again, no guarantees in the kicking game at the collegiate or pro level at all, but for P.J. Fleck, you just watch the defense get run over. They're going to have to find some answer in the passing game. 10 of 15 on the night. That's all he let Morgan throw the ball 15 times.
Yep.
189 yards and a touchdown. He had a couple of big plays to Ottman Bell. He went for 112 and a score with a long of 39. Bateman had a 28-yarder. But if you're not going to open it up, the fact that they scored 44 points is amazing, right? We're not used to that with no passing game and no trust. And for the two not going for two, I like your style. But that goes against the coaching card that they've had for all these years.
Yeah.
And I don't know that we're ready to turn that corner yet.
Well, I got vision and the rest of the world's wearing bifocals, Mike. That's kind of how it goes. I'll tell you. But from this game and the birth of a new star quarterback into what could be the birth of a new star quarterback tomorrow. Now, if you listen, we had Pete Futek on with us earlier in the show, and obviously the biggest story, Clemson is going to play without Trevor Lawrence tomorrow as they host Boston College. They're still a 24-point favorite in this game, but Trevor Lawrence out because of COVID, and DJ Uiagalelei is going to make his big Clemson announcement and debut. Freshman quarterback who Pete says, listen, he told us, people think this isn't a guy from the psych department. He's going to be the number one overall pick in the draft in 2023. Mm-hmm. Like, that's how good, that's the kind of prospect
he
was.
Number one guy, yeah.
Right, exactly. He was the number one guy. And so now everybody, we're all going to have to learn how to pronounce his name, right? Because it's a difficult name to pronounce, but luckily, we have this audio of Uiagalelei himself setting the record straight, saying, okay, here's how you pronounce my name, and even if you get it wrong, I'm okay with it. Lee DeLapp, let's hear it.
My last name, you can start off by go Uiagalelei. I think probably the easiest. I mean, it's okay. I mean, I understand if someone messes up my last name. It doesn't matter. It's been like that my whole life. But I know some people say like Uiagalelei. I think that's easier. Like just say like the ukulele. But I mean, it doesn't really matter. I know they're trying to say it right, so that's what the thought that counts. So it's okay with me with however they say it. My last
that's
name
pretty
you
cool.
can start off by go Uiagalelei.
There it is. Uiagalelei. That's pretty good. And I like how he says, if you call me ukulele, that's fine too.
Uiagalelei.
Okay.
Don't give people an out of being lazy. Yeah. Come on. Tyrod Taylor finally corrected people after all these years, and they're still calling him Tyrod.
Yeah. Oh, for a long Jerks. Time. For a while. It happens that way. It happens for a long time.
Yeah, but he corrected it. He finally put it. I mean, we've had a number of athletes finally put this stuff to bed, and people just say, screw you. I'm going to say what I want. No. Put some effort in it. Put some respect in the man's name.
Two of our best friends that we've had our whole life, they live in Arizona now, and Pam knew them in college, and they were best friends all the way. Then I met them when Pam and I started dating. And his name is Hemant, right? And his name is Hemant, and his name has been Hemant his whole life. But when Pam met him, for some reason, you know, she saw his name, and she called him Hemant, like thought it was Hemant, right? It's H-E-M-A-N-T. So she called him Hemant. Oh, and my friend Hemant and Julie, you know, okay, great. I met them, Hemant. I first called him Hemant. And then she comes to me one day and she goes, oh, my God. I said, what? She goes, you know what he told me? I said, what? She goes, you know, really, my name is Hemant. I said, he just told you now that it's pronounced Hemant. She goes, yeah. I go, how long have you known him? She goes, I don't, like 8 years. So 8 years you've been calling him Hemant, and he's allowed you to say that. So he finally corrects you after 8 years. I mean, what was the straw that broke the camel's back on that one, that you were going to start calling him Hemant? You know, I got to tell you, it's actually Hemant. I'm like, oh my God. Like, I think she heard Julie, you know, calling him Hemant. She didn't get that. And he was like, it didn't say anything. And then it's like, yeah, no, Hemant. No, it's actually Hemant. I'm like, you've known him for 8 years. We went to their wedding. That's when we found out was at their wedding that you know, she was calling him Hemant. And she was like, Hemant, why is she calling you Hemant? Well, that's how my name is pronounced. It's actually Hemant. Oh, okay. So, yeah, so I could see where that happens sometimes. Boy, my wife is going to hate that I told that story on the
air. No, it's
She's
fine.
She's going to hate that.
No, because, look, you got to have – it's like the Michael Mike thing.
Yeah.
You're happy to get in the door and you're Michael, but nobody calls you Michael. Like, you guys have never called me Michael. Hell, you don't have a first name most of the time. It's just, Hey, Harmon.
Right?
And that's been my life forever. That's my daughters live with that in their world, too. It's like, just, it's the surname.
Harmon.
So, it's just, hey, Harmon. So, you know, the change to Michael, we got everybody in, they had a good laugh. We still have those fun joining opening hour things that are going in, and it's Michael and making fun of me, and that's fine. I'll wear it, but it's the same thing. At some point, you got to raise your hand and say, you know what? This is preferred. Call me sir.
Why don't you just go by Mike?
Why do I got to change my name? Because he sucks.